I know what God is doing.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to need some women to do it.
Yeah.
We can't just have white men preaching the gospel, or people aren't going to know Jesus.
At all.
Period.
Listen to Allie being an angry black woman. Oh, no, that was passionate. I'm sorry, that was passionate.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women.
As we've gotten to be friends, we've had lots of conversations about what it means to be a woman. And I've kind of come back with, does it mean something different if you're a black woman? Like and even as we've been in leadership meetings together at work, we've had lots of questions about women in leadership. And I'm excited about this topic today because we're talking about women in leadership, but specifically black women in leadership, which if you think about leadership as a funnel, there might be a big funnel for just leaders, and then men, there are leaders. And then when you get down to women, there are leaders. And then when you get down to minority women and leaders, it's like a very, very small group of people. And so I'm excited to talk about this today. And we have some really exciting guests that you found one and I found the other. So you introduce your girl and I'll introduce mine.
I'll take Mika as my girl. Yeah, sure. Well, I actually heard Mika. This is Mika. Say hi.
Hey.
I found Mika because I listened to a podcast. She was on this other podcast as a guest. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to them and I thought, oh, I like this Mika woman. And I'm very interested in her research.
Yeah.
Which she referenced on the other podcast, but didn't talk a lot about. And so I just played stalker and found her. I started finding her on
that's
Instagram.
That's exactly what you did. That's exactly that's
found
how you
her on
found
Instagram.
Her.
Figured out where she worked.
Went to her house. Yeah.
not quite all the way to her house, but anyway. So this is Mika. Do you want to do yourself better justice than I just did in introducing you?
Thank you so much. Yeah. That's like so kind. I mean, I'm a Cincinnati native, so I was born and raised in Cincinnati. I did undergrad work at Bowling Green State University and then went on to my master's at Miami and have stayed there to work and kind of develop my career. And I think that all leads up into me and my interest in black women in leadership. And so I think about my schooling experience, and I think it was not until my junior year of college that I had my first black professor, a black woman that was a professor. And so to go through 3 years of college without that. And so fast forward, I'm currently a doctoral candidate at Miami University in the Student Affairs and Higher Ed program. And I'm doing my research specifically on black women leaders. What are the ways in which black women lead? And what can we learn from their approach to leadership as we think about the whole canon of leadership? Mm-hmm. So in my initial research, what we find is that leadership broadly is defined from a white male perspective. And so the leadership books, I mean, even if you just do a quick Google search on leadership books, most of them are going to be written by white men. That's the perspective that kind of is leading and is the norm, and then everything else is kind of peripheral. And I'm arguing that black women have a way of leading that I think is special, is great, and that we should be using that as the center of how we think about leadership and then going from there. So using it as the starting point, not as an afterthought in the leadership conversation.
Awesome.
Man. Well, I also brought a guest. I personally have a major mom crush on this lady right here. I've had a chance to know her for, I don't know, I guess about 10 years. We serve in an organization where she has consistently been a leader. Every once in a while, depending on what's going on in my life, but Nadine has consistently been a leader in an organization that we serve in. And because of that, because I've had access to her, I've been able to watch her as a mom and as a wife. And she's basically a hot shot. She's kind of a badass. So, Nadine, I would love for you to do yourself far more justice than I do and tell them all about all the fancy things that you've done and who you are.
Oh, my gosh.
Go ahead, girl. Just tell us who you are, girl. Yeah.
I will say I probably have an equally mom crush on Latasha. She's fantastic as a mom. I've just kind of watched her grow. As she said, we are in the same organization, volunteer organization, a mom volunteer organization together, where our mission is about developing the next generation of African-American leaders. So it's a very important work, which is why I invest so much in it. Professionally, I have an education in engineering, so at Georgia Tech. So I've always been, you know, kind of thinking about women in leadership, have always been in the minority. I went to a predominantly white school in a degree that's very not as friendly to minorities, certainly not as friendly to women, minority women. But came out of Georgia Tech in 1995 with a mechanical engineering degree. Immediately started working at Procter & Gamble. So that's what brought me here to Cincinnati in the engineering department, again, surrounded by all white males. And then kind of fell backwards into real estate, which is really an all-white, male-dominated field. Corporate real estate is a bit incestuous.
Quick, let's try to brainstorm an industry that's not dominated by white men. Everybody, go. Yeah.
No. It is just over.
Got
sorry. Sorry, white males.
So it has just been quite a journey in learning to navigate through those waters.
Yep.
So that's kind of my background, so... That's excited great. To be here and excited to be asked to participate in such a wonderful conversation. So thank you, Latasha.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for saying yes.
I really think this is such an important topic because I really sparked to how Mika put it, that the entire topic, the entire world of leadership has been utterly defined by something that none of us are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult as a woman and then add on a black woman, mm-hmm. I would imagine, to figure out how you fit in a world where that's been totally defined by people that you are not.
Yeah.
And so can we just quickly say, as you have grown up, because we're all grown ups mm-hmm. here,
allegedly.
Did you always see your, do you see yourself as a leader now?
Yeah.
And in what way? Like, how would you say that you were a leader? Do you define that organizationally? Do you feel that that's just who you are? How do you think about your leadership? And has that changed? Has it always been the case? Did you know that you had leadership qualities as a young girl? Is that something that you've developed? Like, just talk about that path in your own life.
Nadine, do you want to share?
Sure. So I will say that, you know, and I'll qualify this by saying that I think we're all leaders, you know, especially kind of, in, you know, the mom organization we talked about. You're raising a next generation, so you've got to lead. Whether you see yourself as a leader or not, you're leading. Somebody's watching. Someone's
right.
imitating. Mm-hmm. You're so a leader. So I think just by definition, we're all leaders. In terms of how I define myself in my leadership, it's not so much what I do professionally or even what I do with the organization, but it's the impact that I have around others around me. I always tell my kids, if you're walking and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. You're not really leading. Mm-hmm. So how many people are imitating and how many people see what you're doing and want to do that? That to me is that defines leadership. And so part of what my daily kind of routine is, am I doing something worthy of imitation? Mm-hmm. And that's how I define leadership. So that's kind of how I, for at least in my life.
What about you, Mika?
Yeah, that's good what you shared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, of course, I mean, I would say, yeah, we're all leaders around this table. And I would say definitely I see myself as a leader now. I feel like I was grateful to grow up and have, you know, two black grandmothers that I felt like were leading in their own way that really helped me now in my research to see that leadership isn't just a title that you have or being able to have this position in a company, but it's being able to run your families and be the matriarchs. And, you know, my grandma on my dad's side used to be a part of the American Legion. She's deceased now. But she would have me and my twin sister go with her to, like, sell these little poppies, like these little things to remember, like, mm-hmm. veterans. So we'd be standing outside of Kroger. Hey, can you, you know, would you give us a donation for this? And I just remember that as such a vivid example of her leading and us then imitating her doing it, us watching her. And then she's teaching us to do that. And I don't know if on the outside people would have said, oh, she's a leader in the traditional sense. But to me, like, she led well, us, her family, her grandkids. And so I think about leadership as not just, and even in my research, I'm not just looking at women in higher ed and positional leadership positions. I'm just looking at black women generally, because I would argue that we are all leading and that you don't have to be a vice president or, you know, some sort of senior leader to be a leader, but that other women have these qualities.
What about you?
Nadine said it, and then Mika just echoed it. I remember we were in a training here, and it actually struck me really, really hard. I remember we were talking about replicating ourselves, replicating the part in us that looked like Jesus, and replicating it in other people. And the question was, did you have a life worth imitating? And it actually took my breath away because I thought, oh, that's right. People are watching me. And are they watching me do things that are worthy of being replicatable? And so I would probably have said that in the past 7 years, 7 or 8 years since I've been here, that I've really kind of grown into my space and authority as a leader worth following, like somebody who has something to say that is worth listening to, worth following. And I think for me, it just continues to develop. I probably spent a lot of my time walking and not realizing that there were people behind me picking up some of my good and or bad habits. So
I'm a learner in our conversations today, nice. To be sure, because I feel very much in process with God about leadership and women in leadership, and then layer on women in church who lead. There's all kinds of layers here.
Yep.
So
interesting.
All ears, y'all.
All ears.
I am all ears. These great leaders have to tell me today about leading.
So Black women leading. I mean, we know that from a pay perspective, we basically lag the market in terms of how much we make versus our white counterparts. Our families are less likely to be intact. As a matter of fact, Black women are less likely to be married. And we make up 12% of the population, but like 1% of the C-suite. And I don't even know if that's important or not. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But like it's certainly not a representative sample of people who could be in the leadership in C-suites. And so what's culture saying to us specifically about Black women and how we lead? Mika, what do you think?
Yeah. I think that sometimes culture is saying that Black women, I think we get put it into these stereotypes, kind of bossy mentality, that Black women are bossy, or that
we're angry. I was going to ask if we're angry.
We're angry. Sometimes I'm mad.
It depends.
It depends. But, you know, or we're, you know, I've been called fired up before, whereas my white colleagues are passionate and excited about a topic. And so I think that we get put into these stereotypes that, like, either we're too passive or we're too strong. Like, I think people are intimidated by Black women's strength. Mm. And I think that that's hard then as you're trying to lead and find your way. I mean, to your point, you know, we're not represented in these higher level positions. So you might see us in entry level positions. I see this in my field a lot. You know, there's lots of Black women that are in entry level positions, but the higher you go up, you don't see people that look like you, which then I would argue perpetuates this thing that sometimes I can't be what I don't see. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't see myself represented in these leadership roles, then to me it feels like, how can I ever get there? Especially if everything in culture and society is telling me I don't deserve to be there, I don't have the skills to be there. I think it takes a lot to overcome that and either have something inside yourself or people around you that are saying, yes, Black woman, you can do this, even if you don't see yourself there. And you might have to be the first one. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to keep working, because I want other Black women to be able to see that come behind me, and for more of us to be in those roles so we continue to kind of make gains in that way.
So, Nadine, do you have the same impression of how people receive the leadership of Black women that these guys described, kind of fiery, maybe bossy? Have you felt that?
I think it's dead on. And it's because, you know, culture has said it enough that everyone has kind of adopted it as true, right? If I say it enough, it's true.
That's what my kids try.
We can't have
like
ice cream
main
every day.
Strategy.
but there is a sense of the angry Black woman, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it in comedy all the time, in TV. You see it played out in so many different areas. And so there is a persona that I think Black women coming through the door immediately have, this angry woman. And, you know, some of the points that Mika was making about not seeing yourselves in senior roles, that leads to not being groomed the same way that your counterparts would be groomed.
That's
if you think about the leadership succession, the development, you know, even the camaraderie, I cannot tell you the amount of business that gets done outside of the boardroom, right?
Yeah.
Let's go play golf, whatever. All of that you don't get the opportunity to get watered the same way, right? Yeah. That the other, mm-hmm. your other colleagues get an opportunity to do. So I do think that plays a huge disadvantage to African-American women, Black women in corporate America, because we don't have the same mm-hmm. people helping us. Mm-hmm. I will say that I've been fortunate enough, you know, thank God, that I've had the right advocates, mm-hmm. right? And they didn't look like me. But they took to heart the whole diversity messaging that the companies like to talk about, and they took it seriously. And so I really had true advocates that were helping to groom me in a way that I would have never gotten. So I do think finding the right advocate, someone that's going to help champion for you in those seats, in those boardrooms, is very, very important.
Can we talk for a second? If that's the wrong way to think about it, that's what culture has mm-hmm. told us. What are the unique, wonderful ways that women lead? What's the true heart of uniqueness for women?
From my perspective, I think that women in general, I think relationally they lead very well. And I think their emotional intelligence. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that leading isn't just, in my opinion, from as a dictator or with a strong hand, but I think you got to know how to read your room. I think you got to know how to meet the individual needs of people. And I think women have a unique way of listening and not just at what people are saying, but what they're not saying, and then addressing that appropriately. And so those are two things that I think that women and Black women do really well.
So we just recorded a podcast about race relations, and we had two amazing guests on with us. And one of them reminded me that the civil rights movement was really created on the backs of women mm-hmm. when they talked about, like, seriously, we were sitting there listening to them talk, and I knew, like, because I've read the stories and I know and I knew it, but then he said, and I was like, that's right. That's exactly, I mean, it was built on the backs of women who decided not to use public transportation or to, like, do whatever the thing was. There is a power in how women lead, and there are places that we still haven't really had lots of access to, and I would say specifically the church. Mm. So I know all of us in this room at this table have experienced, and we attend church in not necessarily at Crossroads, but in other places. So Nadine, why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience, what the overarching, the stated and the unstated rules were for women leading in church?
Yeah, and it's probably similar to probably a lot of your experiences, but you just didn't see women in the pulpit. Yeah. I mean, they worked with the children. They were in the women's ministry. Mm-hmm. They were the nurses, right? Mm-hmm. So they were just not in senior leadership. And I don't know that I really took note of it until I was a grown-up and attended, you know, moved away from my home. And started to attend different churches. I thought, oh, wow, women are like leaders. They're, because I never really thought about uh-huh. it. You know, it was one of those, oh, well, right. You know, and, you know, I knew the stories of the Bible where people were leading, but just never thought about it in terms of, wow, women really want to do this. And there's a place for them to do that. But growing up, you just never saw that. It's, you know, it's not a race thing. It's very much a, you know, gender specific driven. The man is the head, the women, you know, just come behind. And you saw that played out very vividly in the church.
You know, I guess I must say something here because I talk Crossroads. So,
oh, are you going to? Don't get fired.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
You would know because I would tell you. But okay,
you're fired. Yeah.
By the way.
You don't even need to leave this room. You just need to go to your car.
I just got a text.
No. No. What I've encountered in the church is that leadership is voice. Mm-hmm. And women's voices are not expected. They're not sought out. And there are biblical reasons that people write books and papers yeah. and defend that around. And what I will say is there are good, loving, thinking, biblically sound theologians on both sides of this issue about whether women should, in fact, be in the top position of leadership. Mm-hmm. It does go back to how one reads and understands the scriptures. So I have done enough reading and thinking about this to say there are good Jesus-loving people that come to different conclusions about that. And we have a culture that has taken every opportunity to drive home that only men should ever be leading and speaking. Mm-hmm. And so where I am today and the fact that I get to say anything is God, mm-hmm. period. It isn't because I executed a plan. It isn't because this is the job I always wanted. It has nothing to do with any of those things. I believe that he put some things in me and then set about a path to bring them out of me. And this is where he was able to do that. And yay, God, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And yay for the church that we are a part of, this body being willing to experiment with that, mm-hmm. but it's still been a long Absolutely. And sometimes very painful experiment. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm probably the only one still hanging around mm-hmm. that's been experimented with. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like, and so God is just, he's done something yeah. over a very long period of time. Yeah. It's not like I applied for the job.
Yep.
Does that? And so when I look backwards, I see, oh, he's done some things with me. He's done some things in the body of Christ that is this little chunk called yep. Crossroads. Yep. He's changed hearts of some of the leaders around That's here, right. too, over time. He's also blessed me with trusting good long-term relationships, yep. which is huge. Yep. And so I see it really... not as, I don't know that I would plant my flag in one place on the spectrum of what should women in the church be doing. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I just know
what
this is what
doing.
God has
yep.
plowed a path mm-hmm. and pushed me into. Yep. And I want to follow him more than I want to wave a flag yep. for what all women should be doing. Yep. What I will say is I think we live in a culture that can and should be receiving regularly from women. We don't have the luxury as the church anymore of closing our eyes and just pushing men forward because we don't live in a culture that will receive that. Mm-hmm. We need the fullness of who God created, women, men, and all different colors, to be preaching the gospel and talking about Jesus, or we won't reach everyone there is to reach.
That's right.
And so I don't know what God is doing, but I think he's going to use some women. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, you can use me to do whatever you want. Yep. And that's led me here. Yep. So it's really hard when somebody says, what do you think women should be doing? And I'm like, I think I know what God is doing.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to need some women to do it
yeah.
because of where we are and who we are today as a people. We can't just have white men preaching the gospel or people aren't going to know Jesus.
At all.
Period.
Listen to Allie being an angry black woman.
That was passionate. I'm sorry. That was passionate.
That would be an angry, to be clear.
That would be an angry black woman.
Absolutely.
Yes. I call it passion, but that would
be... I am honored today
to be an angry black woman.
You're
welcome.
I feel great about that. There you go.
So we talked about the church a little bit. What does Jesus say about black women in leadership? I mean, I think he has a lot to say about women in leadership. Women are prevalent throughout the Bible. So what does he have to say, Nadine? We had a conversation about this.
Yeah, and in the Bible, sometimes it's hard to say who's black and who's not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to kind of look at a global map to say what
My
part
guess
of the
is
world
most of them
they're coming from,
Shocking
right?
to all us white people.
Not blonde
They're
hair
probably
blue eyes.
Not all white.
Jesus just, Wesley didn't
if
have
you,
blue eyes.
If that's a first thought you've ever had of that, you need to warm up to that right now.
Yeah, and
My
I agree.
My mom's fucking out right now.
She's unsubscribing.
Sorry, Mom.
So, and I agree with Allie. I just think, again, if you look at the map and kind of see where folks are coming from, yep. you know, the majority of the Bible are talking about people of color, right? So as I look at kind of what God has done, and you could look at, you know, any of the stories, Esther, you know, there's probably hundreds of them, right, mm-hmm. where women are stepping up into leadership. And the ones that the one sentence sometimes you'll give, like Timothy's grandmother, mm-hmm. that's a role of leadership. So mm-hmm. even those little nuggets of kind of where God has exposed a woman, I think about the very first evangelist. That was Mary. Mm-hmm. She was the first at the tomb, the very first evangelist mm-hmm. to go tell the story, he has risen, mm-hmm. right? So God has used women powerfully yeah. across the entire Bible from the, you know, time of, you know, whether you can argue whether or not you want to, you know, call Eve a leader, but guess what? She was the second, she was the second created, right? And she had a role to play in the coming of our Savior, right? So there was a clear role that women have played over the history. So I don't think God's message has changed. It's been consistent. We have not wanted, wanted to see it through God's lens or Jesus's lens. We don't want to see that. But his message has never changed. You know, who you are, what color you are, what your background is, how much sin you have, none of that matters to God when he's ready to move. What he's ready, and you know, Allie used the term in progress with God in leadership. I would say we're all in progress.
Yeah.
And when God is ready to move, it's whoever's willing. He doesn't care you are, what you look like, what your gender is, what your station in life is. It's time for a God movement, and whoever's ready and willing, that's who's going to be pushed forward. Latasha's probably heard me say this 1,000 times, but lead from any seat. And I tell people that all the time. It doesn't matter what seat you're in, lead. You know, leadership, as we think traditionally, there can only be one person at the top, but they're not effective and they can't be the leaders they are if the leaders beneath them are not doing the work that they need to do. I love the fact that we're sitting at a round table, and every time I talk to my leadership team, I always intentionally sit at a round table because there is no head. We all contribute in a way that makes the product much better than I would if I was doing this by myself. And so if you're out there and you're thinking, oh, I don't have the title, I can't, think about the seat that you're in, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, you've got young ones that you've got to lead, whether you're at an entry-level position, you know, there are others watching you. And even folks that are above you can learn from something that you're doing, no matter what position you're in. So I would just encourage you to lead from your seat. Don't be less concerned about your title and more concerned about what you're doing, waking up every morning and saying, I'm going to do something worth imitating.
That's great.
That's great.
So, ladies, this may well be our last episode. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for being the guests on our last episode of the season. It's been an awesome one. And I have reflected on the entire season where we've been searching for the third way on all kinds of different topics, from leadership to sex to men to beauty and all kinds of different ways. And I think what I've realized in our conversation today is that anytime we are following the third way, we are leading. And it's going to stick out and it's going to be attractive and it's going to draw others both to us and to God. And so, wow, who knew that in search of the third way, we would accidentally become leaders in all these different areas? That's really cool.
Good job.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.